He didn't want to show anybody that these candy sticks could talk and walk and do all sorts of things. So one day, he didn't know that anybody was coming. He just knew that his uncle was coming. So he says, I'm glad Bernie's going to come. Oh, goody, oh, gander, goody, gander. So he didn't know that his cousins were coming too. So then he saw the cousins were coming and he couldn't tell them that. So then they were in the house and they were doing it, all the babies were in bed and they were reading the paper. Well, they came in and they saw candy sticks. They said, can I have a candy stick? Can I have a candy stick? And he said, well, just go look. Hey, you hurt me. Don't stop. God's sakes, I never heard of a talking candy stick. Ow, that hurts. Leave my baby alone. And besides, this little boy, he's so nice to me. He said, no one's gonna touch me. And you did. I'm very ashamed of you. When this candy stick grows up, little boy, you could have him to eat. No. You like to be eaten. And besides, you don't want to live. No, I don't want to. Oh yes, you're gonna have to do it, baby. Oh no, not anymore. So one day he grew up, and big party. And everybody ate up the candy sticks, even the mother and the father. And that's the end of the candy sticks. So, this is a poem, Swimming in the sea. When I am swimming, I can see the seagulls and the things, and all around us I can see water and waves, and also nothing else I could see is little arms going up and down. Right, all right.
Well, you don't have to say anything, then.
Hi, David and Jossie and Daniel, Jonathan and Judy. You are nice to send me all those letters. And that poem, those things you just heard, the poem and the story, are just for you to hear. And not just for everybody else. Not funny story about candy sticks. So funny because no candy stick could really talk and walk and do all those things. You should remember that story, because when I come back you might not be able to hear it anymore. But still, it doesn't matter. I can tell you another story about a candy stick. And in the poem I really didn't like, I should have made it better, but I'll give you another poem some other time, send it to you in a letter. Now, can I sing you a song? This is a song about a little nut tree, and I'm going to sing a part of it, and I'm going to sing the little nut tree song, and then I'm going to sing a song that I made up, and then I'm going to sing a song that's called, it's about 10 blackbirds. I had a little nut tree, nothing would it bear, but a silver apple and a golden pear. The king of Spain's daughter came to visit me, and all on account of my little nut tree. The little blackbirds, the little blackbirds, birds, they didn't know what to do. The little blackbirds, they had so much fun to do. And when they didn't have something to do, they would always go in a hole. And when the squirrel came, they would scratch the tree and they would run away. 1, 2, 3, blackbirds 3, fly to the limb of a maple tree. 4, 5, 6, what a fix, not strong enough for blackbird tricks. 6, 7, 8, blackbirds 8, fly to the limb. 6, 7, 8. Blackbirds 8. Break off the limb with a heavy weight. 8, 9, 10. Blackbirds 10. Fly to the maple tree again. Now that's the three songs, and sorry if I made that mistake that I forgot part of it. Now if you want to hear anything else, I might do it, but I don't want to do it anymore. Goodbye from Robin.
So I'll tell them about all of this is histories.
All right, Joe.
Continue. You forgot your purse. You couldn't get in your house?
At the moment, I'm at Ethel's, and Mother's here, and Lisa. And we are just leaving. As usual, we're either coming, or we're going, or we're leaving, or we just left. And soon we will be gone. And in Princeton, getting ready for Monday, since this is Sunday, at 6:05 in the afternoon. And everybody is sitting around eyes at half mast from last night's doings at the Horowitz party, which I'm sure you probably have already listened to the Horowitz party, so you know everything about it. And Robin's just putting on his shoes, and we're going to make the 7 o'clock express, I hope. And tomorrow will be Monday. So I want to say hello to the children. Hello, David. Stand up. Stand up real tall, David. Oh, come on now. Stand up tall. Good. Now raise your hands real high. Good. And say hello to me. Hello, David. Oh, hi, David. And hi, Jossie. Jossie. Hello. Jossie, say hello. Hello, Jessie. Judy! Boys get tired as they get, you know, as they get younger. Judy! Hi, Judy!
What's
you stand up tall and straight, too. Okay, now, Jossie and Judy and David.
Congratulations on her pants.
Congratulations on Judy's pants. Now, everybody hold hands. Good. Are you holding hands? Fine. Okay. And walk around real slowly saying, hello, Judy. Hello, Jossie. Hello, David. I'm glad to see you now. Merrily we skip around, skip around, skip around. Merrily we skip around so early in the morning. Robin?
Why?
You stand up tall and straight with David and Jock.
Why?
And put your hands up high. And take a deep breath. And say, hi, David.
Hi, David. Hi, Jossie. Hi, Judy and Daniel.
And so now we're going to go on the train. And goodbye, everybody.
Oh,
cheese.
Oh,
cheese.
Ah, that's good.
What is
the
bear?
Man, that's real flavor. Man, that's real flavor. David, how's the rooster go? Jossie, how's the rooster go? Judy, rooster goes.
Guy tells me, oh, in another 10 minutes you'll have a bus. I said, how often do they run? On Sundays, he said, every half hour. Well, I suppose I figured the guy knows. He says, 10 minutes. So then I had a good chance. So I sat down and said, may I have a hot cup of coffee? He said, how hot? I say, sizzling. So the guy pours a cup of coffee, pours it into a little container, and makes it sizzling. And as soon as he pours the coffee, the bus pulls up. And I says, never mind the coffee, the boss is here. He says, oh no, it can't be. So I look and the traffic is in the middle of the street. He said, you wouldn't make it. Just like that. And sure enough, I didn't make it.
So you had to wait 1 hour?
But never, I've never seen it. Did everything and ran in the house and yelled at the top of his voice, Dad, Brother Maurice is here. You think Messiah came.
He thinks you're a dog, man.
Oh, I suppose he does.
He's a darling man. He's sure you're a darling man.
So then he said, Maurice, you'll have to excuse me for 10 minutes. I have to go up and get rid of this thing that I'm doing. And he said, you have to come out and see what I'm doing. I said, Frank, I beat you to it. I saw it yesterday. Oh, he says, you were here yesterday, but yesterday was something else. Today you have to see it. So finally I got out with him on the outside. And he was running around just like a little rabbit. He's not big. He's a little shorter than I am, I think. But he started jumping from stone to stone. He's doing his own masonry, you know. And himself is a designer in cloths, something for the ILG, I don't know what. It's designing lace.
Oh.
A lace designer. And he's so absorbed in what he's talking, and it knocks you for a loop. You look at him, and you would think he saw her, he knows her. Never saw her.
So, did he say that the first year?
Oh, I should say. Oh. La 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 la
This is the interview with Mrs. Horowitz, the mother of Sam Horowitz, taken in New York.
So you still speak German, huh?
Well, a little bit. Well, I think that's what you learn. You never forget.
That's right.
See, I can't write good English,
mm-hmm.
but I write good German, see?
Oh.
If I write to my brother, see, he's...
He's still in Germany?
He's from Germany, too.
Oh.
And if I write to him, I write to him in German. He writes to me in English, and I answer him in German.
Do you smoke, Shirley?
No.
You're lucky. You came over when you were 18.
Sam is born in Brooklyn in Coney Island Hospital.
Huh.
You were to the trial January 4th.
Yeah.
You were out there on January
4th. I was out there that time. There was somebody from the naturalization office.
Uh-huh.
He says, I think that your mother comes from Russia.
Uh-huh.
You was about 3 months old when your mother brought you
here.
From America. Uh-huh. So my son, he got a very good head. Got right away an answer. He says, I was born in Brooklyn, in Coney Island Hospital. I think it's someplace in the USA.
And then he also said that, he says, Coney Island Hospital, I was born in Russia, he says, but my mother was never there. My mother doesn't come from there.
I never see Russia.
My father comes
would you like
from
to?
Russia.
I never was there, I don't know.
So Sam is your oldest son?
No, he's the youngest of the
youngest from three.
So it's Sam and...
It's, no, one is Abby, the next is Bonnie, then comes Sammy.
And then comes Shirley.
The last one.
Yeah. Oh, so you're the Mazinical. You know what a Mazinical is.
Oh, you're Jewish.
Well, of course I am Jewish.
What is a Mazinical?
A Mazinical is the youngest, the baby.
The youngest.
The baby. You don't understand Jewish? How come?
Because I'm German.
Huh? Well, then you should
understand
all
the
Jews. I don't even understand German.
No,
huh?
He doesn't know anything about Sammy.
Why?
Because, well,
he is an elderly man.
Yeah.
And he is sick. And, you know, he can read so good. What he doesn't know, it wouldn't hurt him. I know he likes him. I remember, you know, I heard it first through the paper. I asked you, how is it for a mother to pick up a paper and to read that he is about 6-7 months in jail? So here, the radio was playing, and here my husband talks to me. He asked me what Sammy writes. No, he says, put something on. And I read that in the paper. I thought to myself, maybe I don't read good. I just don't bother me. So I went from here, I went to the front. And he comes in and talks to me. I says, please don't bother me, let me read. And I read and I read. And sure enough, I read for my son, and then I read for my daughter-in-law. And then I thought, well, that's my son. So I got nervous. I didn't say nothing to my husband. I went right away and I hit the paper. I didn't want she come from work, she shouldn't pick it up. Because she was very attached to him. So Tuesday morning, I couldn't keep it to myself. No, Monday night, I went to his father-in-law. He, you know, he's on 15th Avenue. He's around my way, one block. I told him. I says, Sammy's in jail. He says, if my son knows it, bring me. I says, no, nobody knows. So he says, if you want that, tell him. I says, no, never mind. So then, Tuesday morning, she went to work.
And not knowing it, huh?
No, she didn't want. I didn't know.
I picked up the receiver and I called up my son. I says, Bernie, did you read the paper? He says, what paper? I says, never mind. I says, could you come over? He says, Ma, I'm very busy. Maybe you could come over. I says, all right, I'll come over. And I came over with the paper. He asked me,
what paper was it in?
The
Daily and the worker.
Yeah. So he asked me, Shirley knows. I says, no, I didn't tell anything to Shirley. He says, if you want to tell her? I says, I wouldn't tell her. I can't. He says, all right, I'll be over tonight and I'm going to tell her. So she got all covers. I only was afraid she going to faint. You know how it is. She was very attached to him. And I didn't want to say nothing. So as long as my husband, he doesn't know, and you know, he can read so good English, I can read English good either. Oh, for myself, I could read, you know. See, my husband, he reads more Jewish. So
well, where does your husband come from?
Minsk,
he comes from Russia.
Oh.
He's Minsk.
Minsk,
So why should I tell him? All right, there comes a letter. He asks, how is Sammy? There was a lady, Frances, who was there.
Yeah, Fran.
She came up in my house, so she said that she comes from Minnesota. He asked right away, how's my son? And I told her right away, don't say nothing.
Who's Fran from Minnesota?
It's a friend of ours. It's a classmate of my university.
So I told her, don't say anything from Sammy. He asked, how's my son? She says he's all right. So still we get a letter from him every week. He asks, how is Sammy? He's all right. He's an elderly man. He doesn't feel good, you know. You have to excuse me, everybody. He's ruptured and, you know, he's cranky. He got his own trouble. So why should I bother him?
Burden him.
It's enough, I know it. So one day my son came over and says, Ma, they want you in Minnesota. I says, how am I going to tell Papa? So I come home for my son and I told him, Sammy's very sick and he needs me. You know, he's there by strangers.
Yeah.
You know, a stranger wouldn't bother with him. So he says, all right, you want to go? Go ahead. You always go. So I went. So he doesn't know. So what is your opinion? I should tell him?
No.
If he doesn't know,
no.
No, and he's the type, you know, he walks into the bedroom, you know, by himself, he'll start to sin. But it's not that my father is opposed to what he's doing. I mean, he never told his children, you know, what to do. But he just, you know, he doesn't understand. My mother, you know, has a better understanding of those things.
So I thought if he doesn't know, I should. My brother-in-law had a store in Brooklyn.
Your brother-in-law, who would that be? Your
sister's husband.
Yeah. Oh.
He was a watchmaker.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the same block. He had a candy store.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he was a young fellow. So he used to come in.
I bet he was good-looking, too.
I don't know. Well, now he's not nice, but before...
What do you mean he's not nice? Oh, no.
40 years back, let's say 44 years, you know, you get older, you get... So...
Yeah, he was, well, his wife originally went to university. That's why they went after.
Oh, but she is also from New York.
She was from Brooklyn.
Oh, she was. Oh, that's right, she died.
She had a scholarship.
Yeah.
So she went out there, so my son...
Went with her.
Went with her.
Hmm.
But she passed away only just 3 years ago.
Well, yeah.
What?
Isn't that a pity?
That was a terrible shock.
To him?
For her parents and for me.
Hmm.
You know how it is. He just came out of the army.
Yeah.
You know, I knew the girl. I knew Ruthie for years. I knew her. Well, you know, I didn't know that my son was going to marry her. And he just came out of the army and he told me, Mom, now is the time to get married. You know, when I was in the service, I couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it is, he was, say, 40 months in the army, then he came home, he got married, he only lived with her 3 years, and now he's in Minnesota jail.
But you know he's in jail for doing good things.
Well, you know, it hurts.
Of course it hurts.
My dear man, he hasn't got his freedom. Like I was talking to the governor there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They're very nice people out there in Minnesota. They took me all over.
Yeah, I know it.
So I talked to the governor. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't answer much.
What's his name?
What was his name?
Anderson.
Oh, Anderson.
Anderson.
Yeah, that
not
was
Freeman,
huh?
No, that was before.
That was before.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, then Freeman. You could just say Freeman.
No, Freeman I couldn't talk to.
And then she also saw the governor in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah.
Cola.
That's right. That's right. He was talking. There was about five more people.
With you? With me. Minnesotans?
From Minnesota in Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
No.
No, you
there
went to see
people.
The governor.
Only two. In John
Gilman. He's the head of the Civil Rights Congress in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, yeah.
Yeah. So we four went up there. So, you know, he could talk better than I do. So so I told him.
Did you make a good impression, though?
I talked to him just like I talked to you.
Uh-huh.
I says, my son always was a good boy. He always helped me out. I live on Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband is an elderly man. He's a sick man. He can't work. And... he helped me. He helped me to support me. And he was in the army. Then he married. Then his wife died. He lived 3 years with her. He died. I said, what kind of living he had? And now he's here. For what? Why did he change his name, I said. He changed his name for his piece of bread. Because wherever he went for a job, as soon they heard the name, his name,
Taboo.
They fired him and he had to eat. Oh.
So what did he say? He just kept quiet. Was he pleasant to you?
Pleasant? I can't help. I don't remember what he said, but he didn't say anything.
He didn't promise anything. Yeah.
Gilman says it's like anti-Semitic. Yeah, because he's Jewish. That's why you give him. You wanna give him the expression to.
You can tell it to me in Jewish.
No, she
can't pronounce it. Oh. Well, extradition.
The Minnesota governor should deliver him to Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's I said this. He didn't say nothing. Believe me, I was crying for him. I said, you better take me to the wall and shoot me, I said. If you give my son 5 years. He didn't answer up. He was like...
like a piece of wood.
No answer. And no picket line. Yes, he says... he said that he's going to talk a couple weeks later. So I didn't understand that the same day I went to my son. I says, maybe tomorrow we're going to see the governor. He says, no, we can't see him because we don't know how long it's going to take. So I told I'm going to see him and I'm going to tell him that. So then the next day I went home. You know, I went to New York. I didn't understand that right. So I says to Sammy, you know, that day I went to see my son. I says, maybe I'm going to go tomorrow. Maybe I have a chance. I've talked to him. He says, Ma, if you could talk to him, talk. Because, you know, you help me. I says, listen, I don't care. I could stay here another week. I'll see. I come down, you know, there always was nice people in Minnesota. They brought me to the prison and they took me home. And I told them, could I talk to the governor? He says, no, I don't know when we're going to talk to him. Maybe it's going to take a week or two and maybe a month. And if he wouldn't answer us, we're going to call him up. And if he don't want to talk to us, we're going to have there a picket line. Sure enough, I left that in the paper that day. It was below zero.
Yeah.
There was a picket line there.
I read that too.
Yeah, I read that too. See, so...
Is that new governor a Democrat? Farm labor Democrat?
I'm liberal. For a while I covered all the people I knew, you know, in various organizations, you know, progressive organizations. But, I mean, I couldn't cover too much.
No.
You know, I saw all the people I knew, but,
it didn't
have that much of an effect because there wasn't enough.
Don't you think that you could arrange in Brooklyn a few house parties? Not necessarily in a hall.
We had one in Brooklyn. The youth in Brooklyn had a party. That was the first party we had, and this was the second party, last night.
Last night was in Manhattan.
The one in Manhattan.
I knew a very good friend. Maybe he's sick of it. His wife is working, you know, and he's a sick man, and he works. And she promised me to, she's going to write to him. And she's going to be to the party, like yesterday. She didn't show up. And, you know, my son, he writes me, who writes to him. They never write to him.
They never write to him.
No, I don't mean to him, but to the governor.
To the governor.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm
going to write a letter to the governor. Then you didn't write, so. Like this, I know it. Like I went in a store, let's say in a notion, so I know him very good. Sure enough, he signed his name. How much is the telegram? He He gave me right away the money and his signature. I'm sure that that goes to the governor. Mm. See, if I'm going to ask you, please write to the governor. Please do write to the governor. Everybody's going to say, oh, yeah, yeah. At the end, nobody sent a letter there.
That's why I'm so bad.
My daughter says, Ma, don't be like that. You know, her son, he's dead 16 years already. Her son was a very good friend to my son.
Who are you talking about now?
A neighbor.
Oh, my neighbor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went up there and I assisted him. Please, would you send a telegram?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was the father and the mother.
Mm-hmm.
But he died about 16 years ago, the son. He used to come up in my house. They had the... Boat was working the whole night.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, go home, your mother gonna worry and this and that. And so on. So I went up there, I says, please, you know, send me some change. He says, yes, I'd better. I says, please, would you send a telegram? I'm afraid.
Because she was up for
I asked her for a donation. Mm-hmm. She says, I give plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And she knew my son. Mrs. Shelley.
Mm.
She know my son and her son and my son. They're good friends. And she gives plenty.
Mm.
Well, that's what happens, you know, so many of the same people approached,
there's plenty.
Begin to lose all
the mother hurts for her own, you know.
Okay.
Hurts you, it can't hurt me.
That's right.
You're the mother. And raise children, it's hard.
That letter with me, they're in there. They approached my father and they, you know, he didn't let them in the house, but I think he was coming upstairs from outside. And, you know, he sees two men, so he says to them, you know, what do you want? So they show their badges and he says, where's your son, Sam? So he was very funny, though. He says, look, he says, I'm an old man, he says, leave me alone. He says, I'm a sick man. He starts telling them all his troubles. I have a rupture, he says, I wear a belt. He says, and he says, I have my own troubles. I don't ask my children what they do or where they are. He says, well, he says, let's go inside. Maybe you have a letter from son, you know, where he is. You know, maybe there's an address. He says, I don't hear from my son. I don't know anything, he told him. He says, leave me alone. He says, see, so, you know, he used to peddle, you know, go around. He's a street peddler with stockings, you know, notions. He had a little valise. I think that's where he was coming from when they met him. So so he says, see, he says, I go. He says, I walk the streets. He says, like, with my valise. He says, I have my own troubles. I'm looking to make some money. He says, I don't pry into what my children do.
Very good.
Then they did come back again and they approached my mother, but then they said, oh, we can't find out anything here anyway, so let's go.
Face to face. See, like, I was sitting here and he was sitting on the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, you want a piece of gum? He says, oh, I give me. Then he wasn't
going
to know. No, all right, I wouldn't give it to him. I says, like I say to you, I says, I don't care for it. I go to my grandchildren, I give it to them because they asked me for it. They were afraid maybe I got something in the gum. My daughter sent me stamps, you know, airmail stamps. So I was talking to him, I says, I don't know for what Shirley sent me two books. Airmail stamps.
Mm-hmm.
What she expected, I should stay here all my life.
Now, well, I had sent them for him.
He says, oh no, Ma, the stamps are for me. Oh, I said, that's a good thing I got them with me here. And I wasn't allowed to give it to him. Yeah, I had to give it to the warden, to
and
the lady.
She
delayed him. Well,
so
you
know,
could you hide between
stamps?
You know,
so you only got
one
supposed to?
Yeah,
when
her uncle was in jail, they sent him cake. You know, they didn't know that they weren't allowed to send. Well, when he got the cake, it was all crumpled up because they're probably afraid there's something, maybe a secret note or something. And
here, and I'll go a little further down, then you see me.
You know, when he wasn't so close up, you could see him better. So he moved back.
He steps back in the light. Yeah, then you could see him.
I come up. I didn't know. They didn't tell me there. He says, walk straight down. So Sammy sees me. He called me, Ma, come over here. Oh, it was, you know. Oh, for, you know, the first time I seen him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then when I seen him face to face, I never forget that day, how he got me around. I never forget.
Also in prison?
Yeah.
And they let you be face to face with him?
Yeah. See, the first time I came up, it was Christmas. He says to me, my son told me, Ma, go over to the warden. Maybe ask him for a Christmas present. Maybe he let me come out and I will talk to you face to face. I go over and I ask him, please, could I see my son outside? He says, I'm sorry, I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and fight with him. No, I couldn't. Then the second time they told me, just sit down, and he came out.
Does he look as if he lost weight?
No, he's
Sam
always
was
thin.
Always very thin.
He's always
thin. How old were you when you got married?
Let's say 23.
Oh, because the youngsters nowadays, she's talking about marriage, you know.
I'm talking about marriage.
I'd like to get married. Give me the guy.
Take it easy, you got.
How old are you? How old are you?
I'm 18, don't ask.
Well, but she's not 18. She's only 17.
Well,
listen.
Nice to get
married.
It's good to
start there when
they're
young.
What?
Yeah, but too young is also not good.
Marigold told me that you worked in umbrella.
Yes, ma'am.
That must be a trade that very few. It isn't a trade with large numbers.
Oh, yeah, plenty of work. Plenty of people work for umbrella.
Is it in the union?
Oh, you're
getting worse.
I could do my work yet. Mm-hmm. All right. I didn't work for years.
But you always worked in that trade.
Yes. I didn't work for years, so I didn't make much. But then little by little I got in it and I made it.
The people that have to work in it though are in the
company. That's a guarantee.
No.
Are there in the union of that trade?
Yeah,
is it part of the ILG?
It's the CIO.
Oh. And it's called the umbrella?
The textile workers.
Oh, that's the odds of being the textile workers, isn't it?
There's some branches of textile that are in CIO.
Yeah, but I mean to have umbrella makers, which is the processing, just like textiles. I mean, it's the use of textiles. You want to move? Oh!
Uh-uh.
Now you can tape the squeak also.
Yeah, I'll record the squeak.
I know.
Nothing
about the clothes.
Did you always have to come to Manhattan, or were the shops all over?
Well, I used to
write. Right, let me look and see.
But then again, it's something that
makes
very
well. Well, I was satisfied. I made all right. I could put away a dollar. Mm-hmm.
I worked about seven years.
So one son called up that his wife gave birth to the baby.
Even the human machine.
And he took any job. Mm-hmm. For years he was a watchman.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
at night?
At day, at night, uh-huh. And it was hard. Mm. And then my children were small, and he didn't make such a living, so I had to go out, and my sister didn't live far from me. I dressed him half, and they went half-faced. Sammy, even he took his stockings and shoes. He went like to the next block, and I came to my sister, and she dressed him. I gave him breakfast, and she sent him to school. Well, what can you do? You gotta eat.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can you borrow
2 months ago, I took off
my
hair skin.
Oh, that's not very far over.
Put it back on.
It's over there by the
side. That is.
Not too far.
I have to go to Queens Village, and believe me,
I
have to wait for a bus. I nearly froze. I have to go and have a coffee.
Well, that was a killer, that window.
Thank you very much.
In the city, at least you're a little bit protected with these things.
Now you'll have something to read.
Yes.
Prison balls. But out there, you haven't got it. Just the
well, I'll probably
the
go to
the
jam on Friday.
Oh,
so
I
see.
So you really want to go back once?
Well, it's cheaper.
Yeah, but it's something
dry.
Well,
I'm very strenuous.
I mean, after you consider your meals and everything, do you think it's cheaper than that plane?
Sure it is.
But
you
want to
eat anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
No, in plane it'll take you 6 hours. Eat dinner, you're
well, if your time is worth anything, it's, I mean, if you're in a hurry and your time is worth anything, it's all right. If your time isn't, you know, getting paid or anything, I think it's very much cheaper.
What is the bus fare?
45 round trip.
One way, well, round is about 25.
Huh?
Well, you got around to it, but if you were to do it just one way, it would be around $25.
Not 27.
No, it'd be 32.
32.
32.
And you're in the bus how long?
34 hours.
34 hours. You buy around 6 meals, right?
Huh?
You buy around 6 meals? At least?
Well, wherever you are. You're
eating
anyway, wherever you are.
And if you got
no,
there,
what
right
I'm trying to
no,
what
he's trying to figure out is by
if you're spending $34, and if you feel, spend $1 a meal for 6 meals, that gives you $40. That's exactly what plane fare costs you from Minneapolis to New York.
Yeah.
Only 6 hours,
but
that's
I come
price.
$45 both ways.
Oh, round trip, you probably.
So there's quite a bit of difference between $80 and $45. Especially if you haven't got it.
But I know I priced a train one time and a plane, and it's cheaper to go by plane than by train.
Well, I know, you can, everyone has all these arguments, but...
But you have your own.
Well, I just don't have the money if I had the money.
Well, that's your argument.
It isn't an argument. It's
the longest argument there is.
It's just a reality. Nothing to argue with.
Economic.
Well, it's wonderful for you to come out tonight.
Okay, thank you very much.
Very good.
Give my God to my son.
I will.
Do you want the envelope to the letter?
Well, I just had your address on it, and I was just going to say I don't have your address.
Okay. No, sure. The letter is for her.
Oh, the letter was for
sure.
What kind of letter?
You read it, yeah.
It was mostly about you, I think. What a wonderful woman you are.
Okay, well, good night.
Well,
it was very
you.
Nice to meet you.
Same
I'll
here.
I'll see you again.
Oh, yes. Just about a few weeks ago, a friend of mine who lives way up in the Bronx asked a couple of us to go in to a an old man who is somehow related to Pop Mandel, and to to hear from him how he is being followed by the Fibbies. That's what they call him here. And being molested, he's above 80, and he's tall and just as lean, you can count the bones. And he must have been a beauty when he was young. And so sitting in there, he told us how they follow him to the butcher shop, they follow him to the grocery, wherever he was going, they just molest him on every point, even to the movies. He went into a show and sat down, and all of a sudden, he discovered that the two guys were on each side of him. And he turned on them and he said, "What do you want from me?" And then he realized, and he stood up in the show, raised his hands, and said, "People, good people, what do these bitches want from my life? These Fibbies, they don't let me live." And he said, "Believe it or not, when you appeal to people, people will always help you." And they did throw these Fibbies out of the show.
This is a poem written by Elise Hepburn by speaking it to her mother 13 years ago. Over by the cabbages, everyone did hear my song. So I found a little piper thing. So many things, he said. How can you breathe without praying or doing a thing? All around the center I sing me a song of Scotland. How can you sing a Scotland song? How can you stop? You must go on and on. More than anything that Russia sees, that Lisa sees when she is lying in bed and shuts her eyes. She doesn't say shut up to anyone, not any day now. Here comes Scotland, here comes India, here comes Scotland more than anything, so she could sing. So she came by day, and now the song has ended. Because now I have to dance the song out. I have to go and do what I sang.
Yeah, I want to say something to Rachel and to Kenny. You know them.
Come on, say hello to everybody. Just go ahead, say hello, everybody. You're recording right now, you know.
Recording.
You better say something.
We'll have a half minute of silence.
Hello to Rachel and to Kenny and to the four lovely children. We have enjoyed their grandmother, their Aunt Deborah, and their cousin Robin so very much these last few weeks. It is a pity we can't all live together on the same river.
Grandma Maribel is about to evacuate this room. You can really see the...
Jack Grinch, you don't need to have any shoes. Are you recording? Don't try to fox me.
I got off this.
And then you crawl right back into the hole.
Beat it
right in.
Marilee.
Oh, yeah. No.
We know it.
Oh, really? She did?
Right.
I was wondering of it. I said, how the job should be.
I was wondering, well, I didn't actually want to see it as a bartender.
When you're talking, now supposing you wanted to put something on a record, you have to go to a recording studio with this?
Yeah.
You know, like Woodlands up where, you know, I mean, Camp Woodlands up at Phoenicia, New York. For years they've been collecting the Catskills lore, and they even have a museum where they have the old plows and old spinning wheels and things that people have brought them.